The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, everybody, live from Circa.
I enjoy our conversations that are 2 seconds before we come back for break.
So your in-depth analysis of the Wooden Award, it's fantastic.
I mean, just yelling so things and
This is a free window into Kelly off air. So let me get this straight. Cooper Flagg got taken out of a game and Jahni Broome had a terrible game? That's why it flipped? Okay, great. We'll ask Wes about this momentarily. Yeah. We get tweets at Beating the Book. 3Jack, H3131. Happy Monday, guys. How did Alabama only score 13 points in the final 9 minutes? I'm not even sure I realized it was that few. I had over 77.5 team total, and they got to 76. Half-court heave kills the overtime, but it shouldn't have even gotten to that point, holding Michigan State at 25-1 and St. John's at 40-1. You met these people, not 3Jack, but have you met these people who have like 13 futures in their portfolios for the NCAA tournament?
Everybody I've talked to, I feel like, has a St. John's ticket.
I know, but like the people who have like, yeah, it's like, have you all done the math on this? Like,
I think I am out of like maybe one, Gil. I don't even know. Like the NCAA tournament, it's just so crazy. Like I'm done kind of loaded up on futures at all heading into the tournament. I'd rather just bet them game by game.
Master of puppets. Just an FYI. If you do not want to drive to Palm Springs, fly Vegas to Ontario. Ontario to Palm Springs, only 1 hour. Ontario and Southern California. I'll do Palm Springs this time. See how it works out. James Sock.
So glad you said Ontario, Southern California.
Doesn't
make any sense.
I'm going to fly to Toronto and back. James Sott. Can Drew Dinsick, whale capper, do the Indian Wells pod actually on a black diamond run for added excitement would set the bar high for Zach Cohen to match? He did not do it a couple years ago. Was it last year or the year before? Same situation. He was skiing for the Indian Wells podcast. He was not mid-slope, though, skiing. Wasn't a live-action podcast, but he was out on the slope with his jacket on doing the Indian Wells.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody who's watched this show for a long time, Drew and Nature shots. Yeah, some of my favorite moments, yeah.
And he just uses his camera. Looks beautiful.
It's actually very good with that, yeah.
And then Ben Handorf. Hey, Gil, do you think Cam Ward has slow eyes like Geno Smith? Yes, I do. Also, care to expand on why you think Ashton Jeanty may not pan out the NFL? Is it the level of competition, size, etc.? I'd love to hear your opinion. It's both of those things, and I could be very wrong about Ashton Jeanty, but it is the level of competition. You know, playing Fresno State is not playing the Philadelphia Eagles, obviously. Not to say that backs haven't come out of poor competition college careers to be good NFL backs. Size is part of it too. I just never watch that. I think here's what really sort of gets me about Ashton Jeanty. He was a big home run hitter, and that worries me. Right, that worries me. If you're, and I get it, you know, some of those games against defenses, he was grinding out sevens and eights. But a lot of the games, I remember just being like for instance down the stretch, it was a bunch of home run hitter games, and that worries me. Yeah. If you're not, as Aaron Schatz often says with Football Outsiders, a moving the chains guy way more valuable in the NFL than a home run hitter guy. So I don't know. Again, all this is projection. I could be very wrong about Ashton Jeanty. I had him to win the Heisman, so I love the kid. He's a good kid. I only wish the best for him, but I'm not supremely bullish on him. Let's put it that way. Wes Reynolds may have some thoughts. Wes Reynolds, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one. Wes, no golf future hitting this week, correct?
None this week. Joe Highsmith gets it done on Sunday, a triple digit one that I did not have this week. And basically what we have seen with golf, all the regular events, and this was one of the regular just boilerplate PGA tournaments, the Cognizant Classic last week in Palm Beach, all of these regular events, you have had average of about, I think, 70 or 75-1 pre-tournament odds hit. So you've had long shots hit, but now we go this week to Bay Hill in Orlando for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And this is a signature event or elevated event, whatever you want to call it. The official term is signature event. And you've seen the class players so far in the three signature events win these things. Hideki Matsuyama at the Century out in Maui, Rory McIlroy at Pebble Beach, and then Ludvig Åberg at the Genesis, which was held in Torrey Pines this year. So that's where you're looking at the board, and it's like, okay, how far can I go down this week? Because it's probably going to be one of the elite players that's going to get it home.
Do you have any different feeling of this? I'm just sort of throwing this out there. Do you feel like this could be a year where it's just more random than others, or basically what you just said is, so the cream will rise at the bigger events?
Well, I think there is a little bit of both, Gil. I think there's a little bit of randomness, and we've seen it so far this year. And look, we're only 2 months into the season, so we haven't seen a player win multiple times yet. We haven't seen a dominance like we saw with Scottie Scheffler last year, and we might not. We might not see that, or maybe dominance is going to be a relative term where you win three or four tournaments instead of winning seven, eight, or nine events like last year. So you will, until we start to see longer shot players win at these signature events like Bay Hill, like the Memorial later this spring, like the Players Championship, then it's really hard to, you know, find these longer odd guys, even though they have won in the past. But in recent years, I just think with these shorter fields in the signature events where you only got 60 or 70 players, it's just so far, you know, it's so hard, I think, really, to go down the board past the McIlroys and the Justin Thomases and Patrick Cantlays and those type of guys, which are going to be in like the 20 to 25 to one range, because we just haven't really seen it come to fruition in the last several of those events.
As always, Wes's golf plays always released on Long Shots podcast that he does with both Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown. When do you guys release that, Kelly? Wednesdays?
Yeah, Wednesday mornings usually Wednesday when it comes morning. Out. Sometimes Tuesday.
The
night.
Greatest golf podcast there ever was. Hat tip to Brady Cannon.
That's right. In the day. Absolutely.
Wes, what about some of the things that Kelly and I were just throwing out? What about this Wooden Award where Cooper Flagg now returns? We just brought this up randomly last week when you know, Flagg was the favorite.
And the odds had started to come down.
And I was saying, I think Jani Broom might, and plus money might be the play, because I'm like, he's the best player on the best team in the best conference. And even though Cooper Flagg might be a better pro, that's not what this is about. Anyway, the weekend comes. Jani Broom has one bad game, and Cooper Flagg, well, first of all, Jani Broom becomes the favorite.
To like minus 300.
Did he get to minus 300?
Yeah.
And then he has one bad game. What, he scored 9 points, I believe it was. And then Cooper Flagg is back to being the favorite. Is there a bet here for you on this, or would you just keep taking plus money every time?
You probably have to do the latter, to be honest with you, and at least lock in profit. If I were a voter, I would vote for Cooper Flagg, because I think he has the best numbers and I think he has been the best player. We know Broom missed a couple games in the conference season with the ankle. And look, he's certainly deserving as well. But what we're seeing now with Duke, because Duke is such a brand name in college basketball, we have not seen a Duke team this good actually in a long time. Like, they're always kind of there, right, guys? They always get the one and dones, even when Kay was still coaching. Now with John Shire, Cooper Flagg, consensus going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, barring a severe injury or something of that nature over the next couple months. But Duke, this has been the dominant Duke, and it's part and parcel of the fact that the ACC is really down. Like, now we're starting to get in all the bracketologies, right? It's like, how many teams are going to get into the NCAA tournament out of one conference? And you're seeing a three next to the ACC, where there's only like three sure bets right now to get in the NCAA tournament: Duke, Clemson, and Louisville. And then you've got all these other teams, Wake Forest, North Carolina, and such on the bubble, you know, last four in, first four out, whatever position that they're currently in. So I know the ACC is down, but Duke's just beating the hell out of everybody right now. They're laying 23, 24, 25 points, and they're covering with these. You're kind of thinking, okay, maybe this is the point to step in front, because that's the nature of college basketball, right? You get on a roll, and then you kind of have a down game, maybe your B or your C effort, and you easily win, but you don't just truck a team. And that's what Duke is doing right now. And Cooper Flagg is obviously a large part of that. You know, a kid that's, what, only 18 and seems like he's matured beyond his years. He's not one of these freshmen that really have peaks and valleys and goes up and down. He's just been steady Eddie every single game. So I understand why Cooper Flagg is a favorite, even though Auburn is number one in the SEC. I think by far, as much as I hate to say it as a Big Ten guy, is the best conference in college basketball.
Would you lay the 19.5 with Duke tonight against Wake?
Gil, I've tried maybe just a couple times, not every single time, to try to get in front of this Duke team. And it looks like the market is trying to do it, but I don't know if I want to take Wake Forest. Wake Forest, by the way, every single year, they seem to be on the bubble, and then they have an inexplicable loss at home. Now, they survived on Saturday against Notre Dame, but a couple weeks ago against Virginia, it's like, this is a game you got to have. You just got to get through it and get a win. It doesn't matter the margin of victory. And then they lose. So you're going to have Wake, I think, for these next 2 weeks on that, you know, last four in, first four out line, pretty much, and they're just going to stay the same. But the market's certainly a believer, but you get that bracketology, that Lenardi or whatever bracketologist you want to put in there, you get that tax of, oh, this team needs this. That doesn't mean you have to bet this necessarily, because you're already probably getting a little bit cheated on the number, but the market coming in on Wake Forest tonight, but I'm not getting in front of Duke. That has not gone well to try to do that over the last few weeks.
Real quick, because we're going to have you for a second segment, but you brought up Coach K briefly, and it triggered it in my head. Have you seen, Will Hill recommended this documentary, We Beat the Dream Team. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Okay, so it's, you know, Grant Hill narrating how the college select team, the first day of practice against the 1992 Dream Team, they actually beat them, but it wasn't caught completely on film, right? Coach K comes off as the worst person in the world in this documentary, because he just will, he refuses to let Grant Hill and his seven teammates have the glory of this. He said Chuck Daly, the Dream Team coach, threw the game. It was this whole thing. It was just so awful.
Where's this on?
HBO Max, I believe. More with Wes Reynolds. We'll see if we can get some college conference futures plays from him next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It says right here, you're probably not great at betting every sport. That's probably true. Let Rhythm help. The best bettors use data to get ahead, so why not put AI to work for you this March? Rhythm is an app that helps you build personalized betting models, analyze trends, and make sharper picks for every game. Whether you're a seasoned bettor looking for an edge on those 300-plus college teams, Rhythm has you covered with AI-backed projections and insights. Start your free 7-day trial today by downloading the app or visiting rhythm.com. That's rhythm.com. So don't spell it the proper way, Rhythm. rhythm.com. Predict, play, dominate. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Wes Reynolds kind enough to join us for a second segment here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Once again, Wes Reynolds 1 on Twitter, co-host of the Long Shots podcast and the part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Wes, I'll close it by this. It's not a great documentary, it's a good documentary. But worth it for the Krzyzewski part alone. We beat the Dream Team. That Mike Krzyzewski couldn't even have it in his heart to let these eight guys, is like Weber, Hill, Mashburn, Hurley, Montross, who's no longer with us, Penny. There are eight guys who played on this team, and they were the only team to ever beat the Dream Team. The very first practice, second practice, Dream Team came back and crushed them. But this first practice, they crushed the Dream Team, and Chuck Daly didn't let it stop, which is different from Chuck Daly, quote unquote, throwing the game, which is how Krzyzewski put it. So anyway, I didn't think it came off as very nice. I'm sure Matt Eumanns could add that to his montage list. Remember the Eumanns thing where he went after Coach K with the slow music in the background?
Yeah.
Anyway, Wes, you have that recommendation. Did you have anything at the Oscars last night?
I did not. I was monitoring, though, to see if there were going to be any long shots that did that won. There were a couple in the production categories, but you have this market now that where you have award season, where the Golden Globes are kind of the ones where it's like, okay, you want to get the prize because that's the first one. Now it's a little bit more risky, but the Golden Globes probably are actually where you can get long shot winners in some of the major categories. But you have that. You have what, the BAFTAs, you have the SAG Awards, you have the Critics' Choice and all these other awards. So it beats these into place, even though it did make Mikey Madison the slight underdog in the actress category. And look, I'm sure she was brilliant in that movie. I don't want to claim to have seen that movie because I didn't. I'm sure she was great.
Sure she was wonderful.
I wanted Demi Moore. I wanted Demi to win because I love a comeback story. And Demi is from our generation, Gil, where it's like she became not just an actress that acts in movies. She became a movie star.
Yes.
And she was a leading lady like Ghost. Like she was one of the hottest actresses in the world at that point. And then in the late 90s makes a couple bombs, G.I. Jane and Striptease, and is never the same. Never the same level.
Great
she
soaps.
Was still a, yeah, she was still around, though, and had a career, but never was the same. And now this was her comeback. And then obviously I think people know her ex-husband, Bruce Willis, the father of her children, is battling some very bad health issues right now. So she's been through the ringer. So I wanted that. I wanted that for her. I thought that that would have been cool to have a comeback story. And then talking about what we did last week, maybe it would have given Andrew McCarthy closure on being a member of the Brat Pack.
That's
if you haven't seen that documentary Brats, you could catch on Hulu, where it really bothers him like 40 years later. And we were talking about that, like, dude, you had a pretty good career. You're in like 40 feature films and we're in television, still work in production and writing and directing on television programs. So it's like you've had a nice life, man. It's not the worst thing to be a member of the Brat Pack. So that would have validated the Brat Pack, the award win last
week. Yeah, I texted Ortega, Brian Ortega, who was kind enough to come on and do our Oscars preview last week. And I think he had Mikey Madison at Plus the Money. And I texted him. I had the audacity to text him afterwards like, oh, man, Demi Moore got screwed. And he just laid into me. Mikey Madison was awesome. Yeah.
One thing too on the best actor, which Adrian Brody now twice a best actor winner. Lorne Michaels still will not have him back on SNL for the stuff he pulled when he was the host back then. And I put the video clip actually on Twitter last night at Wes Reynolds One, where Adrian Brody wore these like dreadlocks and tried to talk in this reggae Jamaican accent. Sean Paul, by the way, was the musical guest. You remember, just give me the light and I got to go. Sean Paul. Very early 2000s had a few hits, and Adrian Brody did that, and Lorne Michaels, even in award season, because they always have like the Oscar contenders as hosts there on SNL, will never have Adrian Brody back.
Wow. Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor award last night, who, by the way, on the way up to the stage to claim his award, realized he was chewing gum, took it out of his mouth, and threw it back at his girlfriend to hold for him while she missed the catch,
that's,
by the way.
That's one way to do just it.
Earlier on the red carpet, Halle Berry, sort of to get back at Adrian Brody, who, when he won his first, kissed Halle Berry sort of surprisingly against her will on stage. She was part of his moment. She did the whole payback. So in front of the girlfriend, kissed Adrian Brody. So his girlfriend was just taking it. Just,
oh, that's great.
Just taking disrespect each and every
his
way.
His girlfriend, by the way, Harvey Weinstein's ex-wife.
Oh, I did not know that.
Georgina Chapman, yes. So that makes it even less awkward, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, just
totally.
Got awkward.
Totally.
All right. Back to college hoops. Anything tonight, yes. Wes?
Tonight, looking, I do like Kansas a little bit. And maybe I'm getting suckered in on a big number because this is not the Kansas of old. This is a Kansas that's going to make the NCAA tournament, but usually they're competing for like a number one or two seed, right? But they're down a little bit this year. They just haven't had really the mix of guys, but there are some tens out there, including right there at Circa. And I would lean to taking that against Houston. I think we know Houston has been a juggernaut. They're going to be a number one seed. I have them, I think, either second or third highest power rated team. Duke, I have number one in terms of a raw power rating, but maybe I'm getting suckered here, but Kansas getting the double digits here. I think the market's low on them because they lost to Texas Tech. And then, of course, Zeke Mayo, one of the transfers on that program, came in from South Dakota State, had a bad game. There were a lot of people going into his DMs and saying some very derogatory things that I won't repeat on air. You can search the Twitter machine or whatever social media machine and go ahead and find that. But I think Kansas maybe, going in there, it's Houston senior night, and Houston has a lot of seniors that have kind of stayed with that program for multiple years. So this is probably a really emotional night because everybody thinks that you got to back that home team on senior day or on senior night and you get a little tax in the number. It's not a happy night. it's a sad night. It's a melancholy night because this is the last game on the home floor, and your mom and your dad and your grandparents and your siblings and your girlfriend are all there wearing your jersey, and they present you with the flowers and tears are shed, whether the ceremony's before or after the game. By the way, it's better to have it after the game and not before. I've seen that work against teams where they just don't have it early on because they're caught up in the emotion of the moment. So the Kansas Jayhawks, getting double digits. I'm going to give it a try. But look, Houston puts clamps on you defensively, so they have a tendency to make teams look very, very bad early and often.
All right, I'm going to go through some conference tournaments that begin this week. One, the Atlantic Sun began last night. And if there's no play here, you can just say no, but I'm just curious. Atlantic Sun, let's start there. Lipscomb -170, the favorite. North Alabama 2-1. Florida Gulf Coast 9-1. Jacksonville 15-1. Eastern Kentucky 25-1. Queens 45-1, and then Austin Peay in Central Arkansas taking the rear. Anything there?
Hard for me to go past Lipscomb. Maybe North Alabama, because North Alabama can score, and that's what I think you have to do. I think when we look at these, we always buy into the mantra, right? Defense wins championships, and I actually disagree in college basketball, and there was a great video. I think Danny Hurley. I don't know how recent it was. Of course, the two-time defending national championship coach at UConn, putting his demeanor aside sometimes towards the referees and whatnot. He's right when he says, hey, you teach and coach defense, you recruit offense.
Yeah.
Offense wins championships, man. It's not defense. You got to be able to score in the NCAA tournament, especially, you know, when it gets in those final 5 minutes and then all of a sudden the possessions start getting longer. Teams start dribbling the ball, running the clock on these possessions. So offense, offense, offense for me.
Anything of the three conference tournaments that begin tomorrow, Horizon League, Patriot League, and Sun Belt, any team that you're thinking about?
Maybe Cleveland State at about 3-1 or about 7-2, somewhere in that price range. I think they're the third choice behind Robert Morris and Milwaukee. Cleveland State, another team, best offense in the Horizon League in terms of offensive efficiency. Now, they split with Robert Morris. Both teams want one in the other team's gym. Semifinals and finals will be held in Indianapolis, but Cleveland State would be who I'd be looking at the Horizon.
Yeah, +310 in the Horizon League. As you said, the third shot behind Robert Morris and Milwaukee. Chris Andrews, alma mater. Robert Morris, by the way. Chrissy, my
mishpacha. Oh, really?
And then pay it forward one more day. Anything Big South, Northeast, or Ohio Valley? I haven't seen Northeast standings or odds yet, but anything Big South or Ohio Valley or Summit?
Yeah,
or Summit.
Northeast probably is going to be Central Connecticut State. They're the best team in what is, I think, the weakest conference in college basketball. But Summit, I might be looking at South Dakota State 3-1. By the way, all three of these teams, the Tommies, St. Thomas, who is the favorite at 225, by the way, cannot go to the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
If they win because of that stupid rule where they're still reclassifying Division One. So, by the way, Omaha would get that bid as the regular season champion, who's the fourth team to win this thing, if the Tommies end up winning the tournament.
Ah, very interesting. That's the old, Merrimack that had to do this? They had to wait 4 years, yep. That kind of thing? Yep. So dumb.
Yeah, same thing. Bellarmine, too, in the A-Sun as well.
Thank you, Wes.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circuits, Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book, JoeC714. I'm taking a morning trip to Indian Wells today for me, Gil. Have some time and a great way to get all my merch out of the way, about a 1.5 hour drive. This is so funny to me because getting merch at Indian Wells is oftentimes a 2.5 hour ordeal, waiting in line and fighting through people to get merch. It is just like the entire tennis world is there. So good strategizing from Joe C for tennis's fifth major. Norm in Vegas, when I drive on the interstate to Southern California and I quickly come up on a car going around 40, it's always an electric car trying to make it to the next charging station. Jack Hannon, at 56, Halle Berry is still the most beautiful woman in the world. Prove me wrong. I cannot. Chris, I want to read that one. And here's one. Rosie Parlays, tell Toddy Bubba Horowitz to get those icing-topped brownies ready to go. His unwanted sons are coming to town. I have no idea what this means, but you know who does? Todd Bubba Horowitz, who joins us in studio now. How you doing, man?
It's great to be here, girl. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's get you in the mic so people can hear you.
Can we get closer? Okay. Yeah. It's great to be here.
What does that mean? What does that tweet mean right there?
These are guys that I coached when they were 9, 10, 11, and 12 and still maintain a relationship, my son included, and they're all coming for the NCAA tournament.
Oh, nice.
And we have these special ice cream cheese ice brownies that Rozzy will eat 4 or 5 boxes of them in 2 days.
Well, I see. Okay, for those who want some context here, because they're like, "Who's this guy? We read your promos for a couple months now,
right?
That you were conducting a seminar of kind, or you were doing some trading advice. First of all, give us your background. I assume this getup is from the Chicago Futures Exchange.
This is from the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. It's from the Mercantile Exchange. It's from the Board of Trade, which I am still currently a member of. Although there is no trading floor anymore, but I was a floor trader. And for 36 years, I traded on the floor my own money every day, just like betting sports. Wow. In fact, this time of year, we'd be in the pits trading NCAA teams once the draw comes out, making markets on these teams. And of course, the floor dried up. I became a retail trader like everybody else.
Because floor trading doesn't really exist anymore.
It does not exist anymore. There's a few minute floors around that are done only for commercial use.
For performative, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The big firms will have some floors trading, but true trading floors where you see the carnage from, like you saw in Trading Places.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a true scene. That was like a pit that I traded in the OEX when it first came out. It was so crowded and so loud and it was so physical. And besides all the bodily functions that are going on in that thing, I mean, people were beating up on you and it was fighting for money.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it ties into a lot of the sports betting, which would really drew me to a numbers game. I mean, I've been a subscriber of VSiN since almost day one. I've been watching you since you were just started on this network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I go back to when they used to have this time of year, they used to have a free contest for subscribers.
That's right. That's right. We appreciate that. I appreciate that you've been with us for so long. So so let's get to the brass tacks of this. So you have that background. You teach people, and by the way, where should they go? BubbaTrading.com?
BubbaTrading.com is where they should go, and I do teach people. I do 4 or 5 webinars a week.
Yeah.
In fact, I did one this morning. I trade live with my members, so we traded this morning before I came here.
So they are watching you do day trading?
They're watching me doing day trading, and I'm actually calling trades. I'm giving them the signal, telling them that we're going to make this trade, and I'm saying, go make the trade.
And you're explaining why you're doing
100%.
What you're doing.
I'm giving them a pattern that we are looking for. You know, the charts in market part, the charts tell the story.
Okay.
They tell you what the news is, right? It's not like sports betting where a last-minute injury, if you get first, you're going to get advantage of it. In the charts of a market, that news is already in the market by the time it gets broadcast on TV.
Yeah. BubbaTrading.com. How much does this cost someone if they were interested in doing this? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening would be interested.
I have stuff that starts at $99 a month. Okay. You know, I do a lot of options training. I do a lot of futures training because I trade them all myself. Again, give me a liquid market, including sports. Give me any liquid market and I'll trade it. But you have to have liquidity. And you have to have discipline.
Well, what I find so fascinating about this, Joe Pete is on the show tomorrow.
Love Joe Pete. His book.
He's an old Lehman yes. Brothers guy. And just like you alluded to, he used to say that the most, actively attended meetings or the thing that most people participated in was their NCAA March Madness pools. Also, their sort of NFL season win totals, buy and sells. They had a whole thing that got so big they had to sort of shut it down because they were worried it was getting too big. I'm curious then the tie over to sports betting. What is it that you observe in sports bettors that makes you recoil the most, where you're like, this is where people mostly get things wrong, sports betting?
Well, I think too many people don't grasp how to use the derivative markets now in sports because there are derivatives in sports by, player props or whatever. I think too many people chase the line. They don't have enough outlets to go to. They will run into it's a hot play, but yes, it was a hot play at 3. It's not so hot at 5.
Right.
Okay. And I think the discipline that most sports bettors don't have, you should know if you're a sports bettor, you should know your win rate, You know, what is my percentage of winning? I bet you if I asked you, what is your tennis percentage of wins?
I can break it down in terms of like favorites and dogs and that kind of thing, too.
Exactly. And yeah. Listen, if this is a business, okay, trading, sports betting. Listen, if you want to go out for a kibitz out to the racetrack, right? You know, you go out and you go blow your brains out. You have a good time for a couple of bucks. But if you're really serious about betting on sports, if you're really serious about this, then you have to treat it as a business. Listen to Fezzik all the time. Yeah. I mean, I'm on your bingo card, Fez. I'm here today. But again, listen to Fezzik. I mean, he's an actuary. You are becoming an actuary about this business. And this, you have to treat it as such because sports betting is a business. It's not where you're just giving money away for free. You know, and one thing, and when you win, the biggest thing I find also, it's house money. It's not house money. When it goes in my account, it's my money. Okay. I'm not playing with house money. I'm playing with my own personal money. And that profit is now mine. What I choose to do with it, another thing, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to go bet more because I have the extra money.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to strict to a strict discipline of how you play, right? You have to be patient and wait.
Do you agree or disagree, though, that the biggest difference with sports betting and what you've done for decades is that in sports betting, you also have to be cognizant of the fact that if you are too successful, the house will do everything to shut you down, which is not really what happens in financial markets.
They never shut you down in financial markets. They never shut you down in parimutuel markets.
Yeah.
But here, because they don't want you to win, right? I mean, listen, let's face it. The casino wants to win. They want to hold really their house edge. They don't really want to kill anybody. They want to hold their house edge. That's really what they want to do. They want to grind it out. They're grinding out 5%, you know, without the derivative market. Basically, it's a 5% edge. That's what they're making. But yes, that is a problem. That's why people have to learn how to attack the same market through different markets that are derived from that market, right? If you use a derivative market, okay, because there's a lot of corollary and a lot of correlations that go between sports betting. But the biggest thing, no matter what you can do, is you have to be disciplined enough not to get crazy, and you can't chase your money.
Yeah.
But there is a form of martingale betting if you understand it, and you have to know first your win rate, right? So if you're hitting 60% in tennis and you go into a 40% win rate for a short period of time, what is the probability based on your history that you're going to hit a winner?
Yeah, and Dr. Bob talks about this all the time. I mean, he's like, well, yeah, yes, I've hit 60%. I'm not likely to continue to hit that percentage. You have to. We've said this for many years. I probably haven't said it in a long time, which is, you know, folks should be logging all of their bets. In baseball, I used to do it based on, you know, minus 150 to minus 159, minus 140 to minus 149. I was aware of what my record was in 10-cent increments just to know how I performed.
And so is Joe Pita to the exact fraction.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, that's what people don't understand, that, you know, you're putting money at risk. This is a total business. Okay. And if you play it like a business, you give yourself an opportunity. It doesn't mean you're going to win every day. You're not going to get rich tomorrow betting sports. You're not going to get rich following the touts who are all full of crap. You know, we have the same thing in our business. There's a million guys out there advertising that you're going to make $1 million tomorrow. Put a 5,000 and you make a million. Yeah, you're going to lose the 5,000 and they're going to make the million because they're taking your money. They're stealing your money just like the touts. So that's one thing about this show. One of the things that attracted me to you and Crack and Fez and all the other guys you have on, they're as honest as day is long, okay? Yeah. I have a good day, I have a bad day. You've never once come out here and said, well, I shouldn't have bet this play, or I laid three, it went to five, I won, okay, because I laid the three, but you lost, so I'm sorry. That's, to me, the attraction of the network, but especially your show, because you always tell it straight. And I bet every one of your tennis plays blind. Okay, I see them, I get up at 1:30 every morning, okay? Work out. Look on VSiN, go to tennis, bang, I'm putting in those tennis plays.
Well, we appreciate the loyalty. I speak on behalf of everybody. Appreciate Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. That day trading thing sounds fascinating. That's where they go for all of this, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And they can also, if anybody wants, I do a daily video that's 2 minutes long. You can have it for free. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, just about 20 minutes long. You talking about stuff?
I do. The one yesterday was 20 minutes, but every day, every morning, okay, I do about 2 minutes. What's the market's going to do? What do I expect?
Thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate
it. Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
BubbaTrading.com. Kelly and I back on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game. Un partido de números. For those listening in Spanish. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Todd Wishnev, live texting the show, by the way. He said, listening to ANG on a Monday. Can't drive to Indian Wells. Listen to this guy. It's about me. Then he says, come on, Wes. Enough about Kansas. Let's talk Atlantic Sun basketball. He says, I like Cleveland State, too. He says, they are good. And then he goes into his Yinzer accent. He says, Bobby Morris down in Moon Township and at near the airport and at. He said he traded, Todd did, on the floor of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for 3 months back in 1992. And they ran a college basketball thing on the floor. He says, on the New York Mercantile Exchange, the year of the UNLV versus Duke, UNLV trading at 32, you got 64 for the winner. So it was UNLV even money versus the field.
All right.
Financial people.
Becoming Mondays with Tots.
I just want to say this thing back with Lehman Brothers and Joe Pita, who's on tomorrow talking Major League Baseball season wins with us, coming out of retirement to do so. I used to say on this show and on the Beating the Book podcast that the most awesome betting vehicle that I ever did was this stock market-like season win total thing for the NFL that lasted throughout the season. Remember, in those days, like this notion that adjusted season win totals are out there every week, it didn't exist. You remember on Primetime Action when it first came out, and I was just losing my mind.
It is still like my most iconic memory, or like one of my favorite memories of you, like discovering a new betting market. He was like, "Wait, what? Like these are out now?"
Because this it never happened before. You know, like we think it's always existed. No, before five years ago.
Yeah, five. Yeah,
that's it.
Like that.
That's it. Before then, it was just here's your season win totals. There was no alternates. Have at it, and we'll find out if you won or lost at the end of the season. But Lehman Brothers behind the scenes did this thing. And these guys are market, like they would, you know, he'd make a great market because there was a buy price and a sell price. So they knew what they were doing. So like, I think 1 year I had the best performance, 1 year I had the worst, but like it was just so volatile. It was so awesome. They had a pro football one and a college football one made by different people. But they got so big, they were like, I think we better shut this down. And then Lehman Brothers themselves got shut down, as you may know the story.
That's great, man. That is great. I'll never forget when DraftKings first posted alt win totals. Live in season win totals. Gil getting so excited about that.
And remember, if you recall, they didn't quite know what they were doing at first. Mm-hmm. That I'll never forget. Was it the Denver Broncos who had a season win or the Giants? It was the Broncos, I think. It had a season win total of like 8.5. They opened the season by beating the Giants, a team they were favored to beat. They adjusted the Broncos' season win total to 11. Mm. And based on all of that Lehman Brothers experience, and I'm like, what are they doing? Under. And it was the easy peasy under after that. So, it was, you know, you learn from that kind of stuff. This is one of these weird days, too, because the conference tournaments are, you know, with the exception of the Atlantic Sun, all the small conference tournaments are beginning this week, as I mentioned. Tomorrow, none today, right? None start today. There is regular season college basketball from the bigger conferences, which start their tournaments next week. But you have half of, you know, all these, we've got about 10 tournaments that start this week alone. And so you have these, you know, muted amount of games in college basketball for this week because of that. Early rounds, obviously, kicking things off. We were tipping off with those tournaments. Tennis finished five tournaments and now it's about to start Indian Wells, but midweek. So there's a weird day where there's like a little bit of a lull in sports, even though there is some college basketball tonight. So we don't have that many bets, but G Bank, the official bank of VSiN, we do recap all of our best bets of the day. I don't have any. This might be the first time I've never had any today, right? Because tennis is in that little 2 day break here. You have any today?
I got nada.
Nada. Did Wes have something?
Wes had one.
There we go.
Wes had one.
Oh, Wes is trying here. He's going Kansas plus the points. Even he, when he was going through this explanation, he sounded very sheepish about it. This is not your mom and dad's Kansas Jayhawks team. It's not even your older brother and sister's Kansas Jayhawks team. Catching 10 against Houston. Again, if you missed it earlier, one of the three teams, along with Auburn and Duke, Houston is, that qualify to win March Madness to win the NCAA title based on the show formula. G-Bank, as always, best bets. Each show, recapped at the end here on VSiN, everybody's best bets. GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And don't forget, with GBank, it's up in the ante with up to $750 in bonuses for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First, new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. You pull the trigger on any more NBA bets? I did not yet on the Warriors.
As far as futures, no. No, there are, like, there's multiple NBA games I'm looking at for tonight that I'll be looking, like we talked about with Carl a bit. There's just so much injury information up in the air right now. Yeah. It's tough with some of these, but I do think, like, Houston's one I've got circled. You're catching OKC on a back-to-back 3-4 situation.
This is the problem of this time slot, right, for NBA, is that you just, in this day and age, the last couple of years, you don't have enough injury information to really pull the trigger on a lot of bets.
You know what, Gil? You're right. For the whole card, it's impossible to say the night before, like, yeah, the whole card, I can handicap right now. But there's usually still, I mean, you know me, I like to bet a lot of openers in the NBA. I do bet a fair amount of openers, so... Usually I still have, you know, what do I probably average 3 or 4 a week on this show or something like that for NBA game bets. And it's usually I'm still able to find something the night before. But like this is, there's a couple perfect examples today where like Rockets, I would like to bet, but there's too much injury unknowns. I think we talked about it during a break. One of the last questions I was going to have for Carl was just how he's handling some of these really bad teams right now. Cause you had the Wizards going into Miami tonight. That opened at 11. I'm like,
was it like 8.5 now?
It's 8.5. Yeah. You got the Heat coming off an overtime game yesterday against the Knicks, back-to-back situation. But I don't think they should be laying 11 points to anybody.
Welcome to baseball betting, because Jason Weingarten and I used to talk about this, where it's like, well, the model shows that I should be betting, you know, the worst team in baseball at +350.
Right.
Do I want to spend 3 hours of my life sitting through that?
So it's exactly that. And this is the time of year where for me, it usually gets dialed back down a little bit with NBA, just this last final stretch between the All-Star break and when playoffs start. I think you got to be really picky. Man, like Friday, I know I had nothing on the show. We talked about some games, though. Like, I ended up betting the Clippers pretty heavily. Like, that, like, I had a horrible night Friday night. And then after you see some of those go against you, it's just, all right, like, let's take a step back, reassess.
I'm gonna ask you the same question I asked you at the end of a show last week. See if you want to have a mulligan. If I come to you from the future and I say the Oklahoma City Thunder did not win the Western Conference, who is the team that wins it? And last week, your answer was?
The LA Clippers.
This week, your answer is?
Man, what's going on with your boy, Norm?
Oh, I know. They only played him like 8 minutes last night, right?
He left the game with a hamstring injury.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, like, this is like, I want to do the cop-out. If the Clippers are healthy, I still believe in them.
It sounds like a cop-out.
I'm going to go with the Clippers. I'll still go with the Clippers.
Why?
Still go with the Clippers. They have a top five defense. I believe in the offensive potential of Harden, Kawhi, and Norman Powell and how this is set up this year. The minimized expectation. They have great perimeter defenders in Derrick Jones Jr. They're just, it's the 1 year nobody's talking about them, and I think they've got a more realistic chance than they have in the past.
Hmm. Okay.
And it goes back to a lot of what we talked earlier. It's just the lack of the clear number two.
What about that Boston-Cleveland thing I brought up earlier with Carl Sack, which is, all right, Boston comes out, punches Cleveland in the mouth to start that game, 25-3. Jason Tatum is talking all kinds of schmack.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cleveland comes back and beats them. We're all wrapped up. We're all close to the sun. We're all handicapping games on a nightly basis, regardless of the sport. Are you so in the weeds on that that you don't read into something like that as a sea change? Or do you have the ability, maybe you still don't think it is, even if you do have the ability, but do you look at something like that, you're like, okay, that meant more than just one victory.
That meant more than just one victory.
Yeah.
I think because of everything in the regular season, I think, like, who did that game mean more for going into it?
Oh, Cleveland, for sure.
Okay, that's right. I actually think there's some people thinking Boston because they're behind them in the standings. No, Cleveland, if we're going to trust them in the playoffs, has to be able to go out and win games like that, like they did on Friday. And the way they came back and did it was very impressive.
But conversely, because I hear this a lot, oh, Boston can still flip the switch. Do you believe that about them? I'm not so sure I do.
There are there are real concerns that I think some people are overlooking, but the problem is for me, I don't think that they're major concerns. Yes, like Drew Holiday, I think is finally, Father Time's catching up with him a bit, and that is a major concern based off of what they've looked like the past couple years with him. But I do think they're going to relatively be able to flip a switch and go to another level.
You don't believe for one second that anybody besides Boston and Cleveland is playing in the Eastern Conference final, do you? I don't give New York. I know people say New York is three. I don't. I don't give them a run.
Or Milwaukee. I think it's a very small chance, but if it was New York, Indiana, or Milwaukee, I think they each got a small chance.
The Carl Anthony Towns, oh my God, memes are so fantastic.
They are.
Yeah. Oh my God. Money Moves is next. Stormy and Matt Brown. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.